Oh God. Oh my God.
I was getting coffee this morning and walking the dogs because it's going to get fucking hot here soon. And I was just like chatting with the woman about her lack of AC. And in the middle of the conversation, I'm like, shit, I'm supposed to be on a podcast.
I got to go. Yeah. High priority shit.
Which is how I'm going to now leave every conversation I don't want to be in.
Oh, shit.
Oh, I'm supposed to be on a podcast right now. Bye.
That's right.
Actually, that's a pretty good exit line.
Yeah.
Unless you've used it numerous times and then people are just like, he's very unreliable.
Yeah, that's a very irresponsible person. Like, man, can't count on Sean.
Start entering rooms. Is there somewhere you need to be?
Yeah. Shouldn't you be on a podcast right now?
Fucking generally, there's somewhere I need to be. And I always forget. I'm trying to get better about putting stuff in my calendar.
Mm. Do you have a physical calendar?
No, I should.
Yeah,
then I forget to turn it. That. And that's like, then I get fucking obstinate about it. I just get distracted on my digits.
It's you're stuck in March and you just keep writing it on March 5th. Same difference.
Yeah, it's
lousy
fight.
March weather.
Fives are fives.
Fives are fives. I was supposed to put something in my calendar for next week, and then I got tripped up on how we still celebrate Flag Day and forgot what I was doing, and then like went like, oh, what was that thing I put in my calendar? That's right. You were thinking about Flag Day and forgot to write it down.
It'd be cool if we could like just bring in some other flags, like 2025 is the year of the, I don't know, tiger flag, and it's just a flag with a tiger on it.
And we celebrate like that flag for the year.
Yeah, it's like, hell yeah.
I kind of like it.
Tiger flag, tiger flag, tiger. Yeah. And then next year it's something else. It's like one of the flags from in front of a McDonald's. Just with the arches and everything on it. Yeah. It's like, oh, cool.
Your time to shine.
That is a better symbol of American capitalism and American like superiority than the current flag.
Also, it's unfortunate that Flag Day falls on Trump's birthday, too. So,
oh, is it?
Yeah.
No. Lame.
Yeah, what a bitch.
I got to fucking see Dogma in the theater last night.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that movie in a really long time, but
yeah.
I remember liking it.
It's been out of print for like over a decade because of fucking Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
I think the rights finally got like turned over, or he let him go because he was holding on to them out of spite for like him and Kevin Smith had a falling out long before all the Weinstein stuff came out. So Weinstein was holding on to it out of spite. It holds up better than I thought it would. I forget how terrible the acting is in a Kevin Smith film.
You look in any Kevin Smith film. Yeah.
Not a priority, but shit golems.
Hell yeah. I feel
like Clerk gets a pass because it's his first film.
But it really does set the template of like, no one acts.
Yeah. Well.
But like, this is a movie of really good actors. And well, I say that it's fucking Chris Rock and Selma Hayek.
Those are the really good actors. Those are the two you're pulling out.
No, I was going to say it has really good actors thinking of Alan Rickman. Then I thought about the rest of the cast. I'm like, never mind. The movie has Alan Rickman. Those are the only movies with only scenes with chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of liked Alanis Morissette as God, though.
Yeah.
She's sort of a charming doofus.
Yeah. She doesn't say anything.
Yeah, it's perfect. She does say boop.
She does say boop. I do appreciate, this is now a Dogma podcast, this is my last thought on it. I do appreciate the Chekhov's gun of Alan Rickman saying, to hear the voice of God, your brain would melt and your heart would explode out of your chest. And that's exactly what happens to Bartleby at the end of the film.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, it was cool to see on the big screen. It holds up better than I thought.
That's cool. I think he was considering a sequel to it from something I saw online. After I think they resubmitted this for Cannes or something like that. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. I still haven't seen Clerks 3.
Didn't read story.
Same. Yeah, I have not seen Clerks 3.
I enjoyed Clerks 2 for what it is. I just like those characters, and I was always a fan of the cartoon show. So I'm like, you can do more with these two. But I don't need a heartwarming movie about how Randall has a heart attack and is dying. That's not what I want Randall for.
Yeah, not at all.
So welcome back to Cage Match. I have not figured out a new intro for whatever the fuck we're doing now. Today we're discussing Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and I feel like we should discuss this movie just as much as Nick Cage is in it. So let's keep talking about Dogma.
It's worth talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's remarkable how little he's in this. But yeah, wait, introduce yourselves.
Oh, I'm Sean.
I'm Nick.
And I'm producer Peter. Welcome back, everybody. Season four, three, baby.
Three? Okay.
Yeah.
Four? Three?
One? How? I don't know. Ten? Well, you know, I keep thinking about Daryl on his Defoe podcast. They like break it down in such a strange way. They're on like season 12. And it's like, and we're in 2005 for Willem Dafoe. It's like, what the fuck?
Well, to be fair, that's fucking British
UK style.
UK yeah. shit. Like,
they have a different BBC numbering style. System.
Like, they have, like, their seasons are 8 episodes long.
Yeah. Fives are still fives, though. So, but yeah, obviously, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah. I thought I had not seen this movie before. And then as soon as we started it, I was like, oh, I've seen this entire movie. I know what I'm doing now. And that was a relief. I really like Spicoli. Spicoli makes me laugh.
Yeah.
His interactions with Mr. Hand crack me up.
That is absolutely the best, like, two-part buddy.
Yeah, they're the greatest duo.
Yeah.
So,
because everything else is sort of just like weird vignette characters that have no arcs for the most part. Sean and I were talking about that. It's like, who is this movie actually about?
Yeah, I would assume it's about the girl who.
Yeah, Stacy.
Yeah.
Judge Reinhold's
sister. Who just
sister.
Wants to bang.
Mm-hmm. Played by Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is one of those movies I missed when I was like the appropriate age to like this. Like, I enjoyed the performances. I thought the stories were fine. Like, I didn't dislike the movie. I enjoyed watching it. But the relatability, I feel, at 40, completely out the window.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a movie for teenagers.
Yeah.
So. Also, something about a fucking teenage sex romp hits different at 40, especially when the primary character is supposed to be 15.
Mm-hmm.
And there is like full frontal nudity of an actress who is 19 at the time. And I'm like, this is thoroughly uncomfortable. I do not like any of this.
Did I sleep through Bush? Like,
no.
Yeah, okay. So just boobs.
Yeah.
Full boobal nudity.
Yeah, Phoebe Cates and Jennifer Jason Leigh boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, see, you got the names.
Yes.
I never get the names. That's I'm just like, sweet.
They're Stacy and Linda with their character names.
Nice.
Yeah. I was realizing too that like I had never seen this movie, and most of my reference was just the Reinhold clip of like his fantasy, mm-hmm. but mostly from The Man Show. Which I don't know if you ever saw that episode where they did it, they lampoon it, but it's like, maybe it's Jimmy Kimmel coming out of the pool, taking off his top, and Adam Carolla's in the bathroom eating a corn dog while watching.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's about all I remember from
That's
The Man
weird.
Show.
Oh, I want to talk
girls
about
jumping on trampolines.
There was that. And yeah. There was the guy who could drink beer fast.
Yeah. He's dead now.
Well, yeah. He probably has esophageal cancer that got him.
Well, that's an upsetting and a downer.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about how Judge Reinhold was whacking off in the toilet, like on his knees in front of it.
Oh,
just
yeah.
whacking one into it.
Good old Judge Doesn't Reinhold.
Anyone fucking knock?
And he wasn't even so put out by it either. He's just right. like, ugh.
How do we want to break down this movie since it is mostly vignettes? Do we each want to take like a character's arc and just like do a quick like run through?
No.
are we just giving up the pretense of like discussing what the movie's actually happens in the movie?
Well, we could give it a try.
I think give a quick summary.
So it's the final year of some of these students' high school careers. Judge Reinhold is a senior. He and his girlfriend break up because she just has, you know, so much more life to live, which was a relief to him.
Well, he wants to break up with her because she won't put out.
Yeah. Which is reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a high schooler movie.
Yeah.
yeah, so it's just the story of like the last year. There's one girl who works at, okay, so most of these people work at the mall in some form of food or another. One of the servers at the pizza place hooks up with an older guy and they bang in the dugout at the point. Yeah, they call it the point. Weird. She just kind of become like, that's her association with dating now, is just banging. So she becomes a banger, a people banger. Then who else is Miss? There's Spicoli. He's a like a stoner surfer kid
played by Sean Penn.
Yeah, yeah, he's the best.
I love when they enter the restaurant and just take their shirts off. And it's like, hey, what's the sign say? No shirt, no shoes, no dice. Oh, that's right. Shirts on, well, boys.
I do like, it's like, I know you had shirts on when you came in here.
Yeah. That was fun. So yeah, he's kind of a dingus and he's, most of his story is centered around this one class with his history class with Mr. Hand, who's just a very strict kind of guy, which doesn't work with somebody like Spicoli. Judge Reinhold is going through a series of jobs.
Yeah, he gets fired a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, did you guys look at the IMDb of his boss? His boss, Dennis Taylor, the one who fires him for, you know, calling the customer a piece of shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. His IMDb profile picture is awesome.
Oh, I didn't see it. Oh, perfect. Wow.
I believe that's probably from Voyage of the Rock Aliens. But
that has big Voyage of the Rock Aliens yeah. Energy.
It is weird to see. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Pretty good, right?
It is strange to see because this movie... What year did this movie come out? 82. So it is like weird to see there are actors in this film who I'm like, I know that person. It isn't until the credits. I'm like, it's like, holy shit. That's a very young Forrest Whitaker.
He looks like a fucking giant dude in this. And, right? I mean, Forrest Whitaker is pretty big. He's like 6'2", but he looks massive by comparison to like
yeah.
Damone or Rat or something yeah. like that.
Damone's a piece of shit.
Yeah. Damone is yeah okay
he's a little snake, but you know he did it for the right reasons.
No, he didn't. Yeah. And then immediately, so yeah, there's the other story of what is it? Mark Rat Ratner and Mike Damone. Mark works at the mall and has a crush on Stacy, and gets all of his advice from his cooler friend Mark, who everyone fucking knows is a skis bag.
Yeah.
And like, we're introduced to Forrest Whitaker's character because Mark's like, hey man, like just trying to like be like, I'm friends with this guy. And the guy's like, don't fuck with my car.
I like how they handled Spicoli fucking up his car.
That was clever.
Yeah.
Because they have like the big game against the rival school Lincoln, which also assassinate Lincoln stickers.
Yeah.
Pretty tight.
Pretty good. I don't think high school ever lived up to the movies about high school,
which is probably for the best considering the amount of statutory rape that's in these films.
Yeah, that's true.
Ugh, God, you're such a downer. Just let the kids fuck.
Like I said, like these movies hit differently at 40.
I suppose.
Especially when I don't have like, oh, this was a fun movie I used to like.
Yeah.
If I could go back and watch Revenge of the Nerds. It's not cool.
Yeah, that one does not age well.
No, those ones are very much in the we're going to have very questionable
yeah
material. But it's lots of boobs. And then Porky's has a hand job.
Oh, yeah.
I do like the take on this, like female director. So I do like the like we're going to do the reverse Porky's where it's the girls who are like the sex obsessed ones and all the guys are kind of like. Eh. Mm-hmm.
Just
don't
dorks.
Touch my no-no yeah, area.
Dorky boys in high school, right?
Yeah.
Even, you know, Damone is this like slick, cool guy, but he busts a nut in 20 seconds, you know?
It's yeah. like, oh. I love that. It's like, I think I came. Didn't you feel it?
I think so.
Sure.
Yeah, I think I felt something.
Yeah.
And then this fun, like, awkward teenage comedy comes to a screeching halt when she's like, I'm pregnant. I need an abortion.
Yeah.
Hey, that's life, baby.
But then we get that sweet moment with her and Judge Reinhold, and they like bond.
Yeah. Get your older brother to drive you to the bowling alley across from the abortionary.
It's kind of interesting that Amy Heckerling hasn't really done anything else. You know, I mean, since she did like Clueless, you know, is a notable one. But then there was not much else. A couple more called Loser, Vamps. And that's it.
It's interesting. Like, is she still alive?
She is alive.
We should write a letter to her. Hey, why aren't you doing
this? She has an upcoming credit for Clueless, which, you know, I don't know what that actually means.
Stage revival.
She did. She was a writer on Look Who's Talking.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. But not Look Who's Talking too.
I don't know. Let's find out.
That's important right now.
All the hot hits.
But I thought this was a fun little film. If you, you know,
aren't a prude like me,
want to just set aside the few scenes with. Yeah. If you're not a prude, if you set those scenes aside and watch the movie without those, it holds up just as well.
If you have with joy in your heart, then
employed. Yeah.
She did write Look Who's Talking To.
Okay. Whew, good.
But I really like just the slice of life action. I love the. Sorry, I'm just really into this Judge Reinhold character too.
Yeah,
Brad's a lot of fun, and all of his jobs just suck.
Yeah,
he's getting through it. I'm glad nothing ever happened to his car because it starts out and he's like, "I only got 4 payments left on this bad boy."
Yeah, it's like, ooh, foreshadowing.
Yeah, and I was like, "Ooh, don't fuck up the car."
I like when he got fired and then he bangs on the bathroom door and is like, I hope you had a good piss, because he had to replace the guy at the register.
Yeah.
Reinhold has some pretty good lines.
In terms of a structural arc, he has the best one in the film. I feel like the movie starts off with him on top of the world, flipping burgers. He's got a good job.
On top of the world, flipping burgers. He's like a junior manager.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how he sells it.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, I got a good job. It's my senior year of high school. You know, I'm going to like sow my wild oats. And then immediately he gets fired, and he gets fired because a shitty customer like starts fucking yelling at him, calling him names. And he like gets frustrated, stands up for himself, goes through a slew of fucking shitty jobs, including having to dress like a pirate as a waiter. And at the end of the
which
film,
is also his masturbation like, outfit later.
At the end of the film, he's like, it's his first day being, you know, the night shift at a gas station like Quick Mart, and gets held up. Another rude customer who's like yelling at him and stressing him out, and he's, you know, throws coffee on the guy and like saves the day and makes assistant manager.
Yeah,
I know. When I got to that point, Rachel had just gotten home and she was like, how much of this movie's left? I was like, I don't know. I think the credits are about to roll. And then it was like, and now Brad has a new job. Like, what the fuck? How much more is in this movie? And I was like, oh, still nothing. But
yeah.
Well, yeah. And that was the thing. It's like, I'm not a huge fan of like the vignette style of film. Completely disjointed, like array of scenes. Like the characters were likable, but they're not being a through line, you know. Kind of made it hard for me to maintain interest.
And it covers like an entire year too, so like the time frame isn't like, oh, here's 3 weeks, it's here's an entire school year.
Yeah, a
little less to connect things to.
Yeah,
that way, unless you're Stacy, then you're connecting all over the place.
And in the end, she learns that she just wants love and a boyfriend.
And she gets with the little theater usher kid. And
Ratner.
The one who's had a crush on her the whole time.
He seemed like a nice boy.
Yeah, they seemed fine for each other.
I did like that he did like the classic up your Dukes kind of fighting style when he was trying to beat up Mike Damone.
Yeah, his fisticuff skills were undoubtedly top notch.
Yeah.
What was your favorite Spicoli bit? I liked when he ordered the pizza to the class.
Yeah, ordering the pizza in the class was pretty good. That could be like that's probably the best one. I like when he's having that dream also. His little like sex dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just like a badass surfer and there were like women just throwing themselves at him. It was great.
He had a sweet trophy.
Yeah.
I kind of liked his relationship with his little brother. Yeah. It's just like so contentious.
I will say I do find it interesting how who got like Sean Penn gets top billing in this film. Mm-hmm. For having a character who has practically no association with any other character in the film, except he meets up with Judge Reinhold twice, but they don't really have like an arc or like aren't friends. Like Reinhold comes in,
just intersect.
Comes in second.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, Phoebe Cates after that. But
yeah. And like Jennifer Jason Leigh is again, arguably who this movie is about. So I find it interesting. Like the way they broke it down. And then Nicholas Coppola.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk point about of
this podcast. He's in the background twice.
Oh, he's in it
four times.
Four times. So some of them are just really fast. Yeah. So like,
I think I spotted him at the dance.
Yeah. He was at the dance.
I missed the dance one, but
He was at the burger joint or something.
He's flipping burgers. That's that's the most acting he does. Like a close up on him for a second.
Yeah. Right. So he's cracking eggs in that breakfast scene. And then there's the one moment where the customer is being a shit and it shows Brad's bud, Nick Cage and whoever the other guy is. And they're both standing in the window and then they kind of just
duck down.
That's the acting.
Then there's at the football game, too.
Yeah.
He's cheering in the crowd once.
And he's all we're first introduced to him when he's at Judd Reinhold pulls up in the car and there's the line about like four more payments. He's right there as well.
Yeah, oh, I didn't catch him there.
They were all gathered around the parking space. So
I think he makes a woo sound. He makes some kind of like
five times on screen, baby.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's cool. I mean, it's interesting that this was where you really made the switch from using his true family name. You know, it's like coasting along on that wasn't working. So switch it up. I
appreciate that.
Power Man.
Mm-hmm. Power Man. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like for what it is, I think he did a fine job. Like, it's face acting mostly.
Yeah, that's right.
Have I told the White Power Man story on this podcast?
The White Power Man?
Yeah.
I don't believe you have told the White Power Man story.
So, Nick Cage character Nick Cage's screen name comes from Luke Cage Power Man. Back in my convention working days, there was this like big fat white guy dressed as like classic like yellow blouse tiara like Luke Cage.
Mm-hmm.
And just from across the room you hear me yell, "Look guys, it's White Power Man." And the guy stops in the middle of the convention floor, looks down and is like just like mortified.
What have I done?
I have made a critical error.
That's incredible.
That's the White Power Man story.
Okay.
Nailed it. Short and sweet. Love it.
Just like Nick Cage's performances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he never milks it or goes too long.
Not in this film.
No, not a lot of opportunity for him to do much in this. Yeah.
Of all the Nicolas Cage films, this was not one of the worst.
It's true. Yeah. Which says a lot.
I do kind of appreciate it. It's like the two major movies we saw where Nicolas Cage plays second banana was Racing with the Moon and Zandalay, which was Sean Penn and Judge Reinhold.
Yeah, that's actually kind of funny. I know it's weird. We were reading that Nick Cage book and they were talking about sort of the falling out of Sean Penn and Nick Cage. And I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Like,
couldn't sanction his buffoonery.
What about the falling out of Nick Cage and Judge Reinhold?
Yeah, well, I mean, he did shoot him or whatever. No, he let him drown. Isn't that what happened? Didn't Judge Reinhold drown?
In Zandalay?
Yeah.
I gotta need to rewatch that.
I'm pretty sure he just let himself drown.
Yeah, probably.
What? Oh, God. I always, like, I go back and watch something from the 80s, and it's, like, starring Judge Reinhold. I'm like, really?
And you're like, hell yeah, this is going to be a good movie.
Yeah. Handsome man, usually, great ears.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot Judge Reinhold was a thing.
Yeah. He really had a moment.
Yeah. And they were all bangers except was it that we looked up? There was something like,
no, I think we decided that there were no mistakes in his career and then we were not going to look up anything else.
Perfect.
Another way Clerks, the animated series before the curve is they did the Judge Reinhold joke before Arrested Development. art and media peaked at Clerks the Animated Series. Tell me I'm wrong.
He's been in a lot of stuff, but we are just going to stick with the statement that Judge Reinhold has never done a bad movie or cool. piece of media.
Yeah. He's rocking. He's crushing it.
Prove us wrong.
Is that our next podcast, Judging Reinhold?
Oh no. Not a chance.
You don't want to watch all of Judge Reinhold's films?
I mean, I would watch all of the Beverly Hills Cop films. I would watch Zombie again. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Fast Times again.
Gremlins
2, yeah.
Or whichever one.
He's not in Gremlins 2.
Gremlins, whichever one.
He's in the first
one. Was he just in Gremlins?
Yeah. And I know this because of Clerks the Animated Series. When Randall is trying to get his $7 back for every bad movie he's went to, and he gets Spielberg in there, and he's like, might I remind the judge he's never been in a Spielberg movie? It's like, I was in Gremlins, but Gremlins 2, I'll allow it.
Gremlins 2 seems like more of a Judge Reinhold kind of vehicle.
You would expect him in there.
Yeah. Oh, Gremlins also had Phoebe Cates. I forgot about that. Well, yeah, I don't know. What else do we have to say about this one? I mean, as far as Nick Cage movies go,
He was present.
He was available in some scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. It's where it all started.
Yeah. When we first were starting this process and we were just coming up with like what it was going to look like, I was talking to Andy about it. And Andy's like, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, best Nick Cage movie. I'm like, he's not the star of that film. I hadn't seen it yet, but I knew he wasn't the star. I knew he's just like a bit player. And now that like in retrospect, I'm like,
He's not in the movie.
I mean, unless it's like Andy's favorite movie and Nick Cage is also in it. So he's just like, that's the best Nick Cage movie. That's about the only way you could go about it, though. Yeah, I don't know. I think overall it was, it's a nice weird walk down memory lane for how movies used to be.
Yeah. It gave me like big Valley Girl vibes.
For sure.
I will say this movie is cut really well. It's the editing is really quick. It doesn't have that thing of like 80s early film where it's like much longer shots and much longer like dead time between scenes. It cuts like a modern film.
Yeah, the scenes don't linger for sure.
Yeah. I wanted more Mr. Hand though.
Could have always used more hand.
More hand job.
Okay, I really enjoyed when Mr. Hand came to tutor Spicoli in his room.
Fuck
and
yeah.
He just like looks around and it's just all the nudie magazine stuff taped up on this wall. And he's just so disappointed.
All right. Any final thoughts on Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
If you're watching this movie for Nick Cage, don't.
Yeah.
But if you're watching it for Judge Reinhold, cool.
Do. Yeah. And Spicoli.
Yeah. Sean Penn and Judge Reinhold crushing it.
Yep.
I don't know if the trailer dropped between episodes or between like we'd wrapped up the original run, like season two, but I don't know that we've ever discussed the Spider-Man Noir trailer.
No, we haven't talked about that.
Yeah,
I don't think so. On Mike.
I am so excited for how terrible this thing is going to be. I have no hope that this is going to be good.
Man, I hope Judge Reinhold plays a Nazi in it. That'd be so good. Or a Nazi sympathizer, and then Spider-Man can beat him up. It's going to be a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it will exist.
I don't know if I have hugely high hopes for.
No, I don't. Noir. I think it's going to be bad, but I'm here for it. And I'm looking forward. We need to keep this, whatever this shtick is going to turn into with the Cage Match, we need to keep it going long enough so we can get to and review Spider-Man Noir.
Episodes of Noir. Yeah, that's fine. In the realm of like all the Sony Spider-Man movies, like, the new things like the Madame Webbs and the Vampire-y Boy.
Morbius.
I don't know why I'm blanking on all of this right now. Yeah. Morbius. And Kraven and things like that. How do you think it's going to hold up? Like, are you expecting like a Venom level bad where it's like bad, but enjoyable? Or are you looking for Madame Web where it's just like unwatchably bad?
Did you watch it?
Oh yeah. I watched it. I waited till it was like on Max or something. But yeah, it is not good.
I have not watched any of, outside of the Spider-Verse films, I've watched no Sony output for any Spider-Man media.
Oh, it sounds like you haven't even watched like the Venom movies? Mm-mm. Oh, those ones are actually all right.
Yeah, I mean, they look fine. I like Tom Hardy, but I'm just like, yeah. I don't care about this character outside of his association with Spider-Man.
Yeah. So Madam Web was just terrible. Like the acting was awful. The story was bad. The characters were bad. And it's just such a train wreck. Definitely worth watching.
Sometimes shitty things are worth watching.
Yeah. Morbius was bad in a way that's not like hyper entertaining. It's just a bad film. And it stars Jared Leto, and that's also bad. And
I mean, the best thing to come out of Morbius is the internet trolling Sony to get them to do a second theatrical release.
Yeah, it's Morbin time. Is Kraven even out, or is that like...
I have no clue.
I mean, yeah, it came out and it was bad.
Okay. I mean, I assumed it was bad.
That was with the three-name guy from fucking Kick-Ass, wasn't it?
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
That's the one. Those are the three.
I need to watch Kraven, and then I'll let you know where I feel it sits.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree. I think Spider-Noir is going to be pretty fucking terrible.
One second. I saw this article the other day. I didn't read it because I didn't care, but because we're talking about it, Dakota Johnson opens up about the Madam Web mess. Quote, it wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would point fingers elsewhere, too, if I were part of that.
Yeah. She also like kind of just shrugged off the, oh, it's a flop. Fucking happens. Like, what am I supposed to do about
sometimes
that?
Sometimes shit.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's shit from a butt, you know?
Like, is that shit from a butt? Damn it.
That is one of my favorite subreddits, is that's shit from a butt. And it's just pictures of food that looks like shit.
I love the internet.
Yeah, thank you all for listening. If you are interested in supporting us on Patreon, which seems insane to say at this point, but thank you.
Apparently, we're going to keep going.
Yeah, we're doing this shit. We're going to run through.
Are we just going in chronological order now?
I think so. We're going to figure it out. There are a couple movies that are like very short performances like this, where we have to just sort of decide if we're going to do a few at the same time, or if we're going to do movie reviews of movies that he's barely in, you know? So we'll figure it all out.
What would be next if we were just going chronologically?
Maybe Rumblefish?
Yeah, I think we should do that one. That's a Francis Ford Coppola, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, that is.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, we'll do that one, I think. And we'll probably try and have a guest for that, too.
Oh, okay. That's a 7.1 stars on IMDb.
Yeah. I think he's like a medium character in it. Mm-hmm. So we'll find out. Thank you to our Sparkle buddies, Josh. Ooh, wait, it's different. Josh, Josie, Rico, Matt, Adam, Bill, and Stuart. And to our Cage Dancers, Ira, John, Freeman, Lance, Nathan, and Cameron.
Nice.
Oh my God. In a few weeks, we'll get to finally watch The Boy in Blue.
Yeah. Greasy Bottom Boys.
Greasy Bottom Boys.
Woo. All right. Good enough.
It's our new sign off.
Good enough. Fucking nailed it, boys. Good enough.
Bye.